chapter 28. I'm going to read two verses, and we're going to go get right into this. We're going to talk about reproducing, and making disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. So if you want to turn to it on your phones or devices, just pull up the Passion Translation. I do love it in the King James. I do love it in the ones that I have kind of memorized in the right lobe of my brain. But I read this in the Passion, and I really liked some things that were kind of expressed in it and emphasized in it. So we're going to read verse 28. Y'all ready? Then Jesus came close to them and said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me." That's a good word. Verse 19, "Now go in my authority," say my authority, "and make disciples of all nations." Then he goes on, he says, "Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." Amen. Pray with me real quick. Would you, Father, thank you for your people this morning. What a wonderful time of worship, being in your presence. Thank you that we get to meet with you together, not just in the secret place, but we get to gather on the Lord's Day and celebrate your resurrection life, your finished work, your love, and the fact that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, the reality that we have been bought with a price. Come on. The fact that the blood of Jesus has washed us, that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. I'm going to start preaching in this prayer right now. How many are thankful that they've been redeemed by the Holy Lamb of God? And Lord, we thank you. We celebrate this moment together. We thank you for the great things that are ahead. And would you just speak to us? We thank you for the word of the Lord this morning. We thank you for boldness and clarity. And Lord, just help me communicate what you put in my heart. And Lord, make the scriptures alive. I bless every person in the room in Jesus' name. Now give God a shout of praise. Would you one more shout? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 28 is a very common portion of scripture for many of us. It is the Great Commission. It is after the resurrection. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he is sending out the disciples. He spent time, he lived life with his apostles and the disciples. He had, you know, the close three, Peter, James, and John. Then he had the other nine. Then he had the 70. And then, of course, there were the masses that followed him. He appeared to many of his disciples, and to over 500, the scripture tells us. And then he says this thing. He says, "Listen, just so you know, guys, I have all authority. And that's why I want you to go now and make disciples of all the nations." You see, there's a connection in the authority and the mandate of heaven that God has put upon us as Christians to make disciples of all the nations. I think there's a great misunderstanding with Matthew 16, where we get our teaching. We talk about binding and loosing. How many have ever heard teachings on binding and loosing, and you bind the devil and you loose this and bind that, and then we try to bind people, like, you know, really close to witchcraft. And we're like, "I just bind you." Like, that doesn't work like that. And we got all this, I think it's a little confusing, but I think the proper message that Jesus was saying, in that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, is what he was really saying is all of heaven is behind you. All of heaven, the authority of heaven. And we've got to understand that as Jesus sent out the apostles, the same way he sends us, the same way a church is planted, and there's an apostolic call and a mandate to plant a church in a community, the local church, that person is hopefully sent by God. Time will tell, fruit will tell. But how many know that in this sending, Jesus said, "I want you to go in that authority. I want you to work in that authority." In other words, there's work to be done, but I'm going to supply the grace for you. Don't worry. And I want you to go out, and I don't want you to just make converts. I don't want you to go out and evangelize. Uh-oh. That's just one of the fivefold gifts. There are others, and the others build. The others build community. The others support and equip the local church. God believes in his church. We have this idea that if we are evangelizing, that we are making disciples. But we can evangelize and preach the gospel and get somebody a proverbial ticket to heaven, or literally, you know, like we pray, they pray the sinner's prayer, they're born again. But how many know that's not our call or our mandate? Our mandate from Jesus, hello, is to make disciples, not converts. I think it's great that we preach. I think it's great that we reach and you know, go out in the streets and that kind of thing. We have to be doing that stuff. But how many know that the goal is not to just get someone to pray a prayer, but have them follow Jesus? It's their entire life. Everything changes. The call is, I want to make disciples. I want you to be discipled. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ, like Paul said. Walk with me and I'll transform you. Walk with me. I'm going to help you see who Jesus is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does it. It's not my job to fix anybody. It's not my job to manage your sin, but I'm sure enough going to teach you what I've learned from those that have taught me. And there is this passing down of perpetual life and legacy through what we call discipleship. But the Bible says we're called to make disciples, not converts. And we are called to reproduce, not just multiply. Well, what's the difference? Well, multiplication is making clones. Reproducing is releasing people in their unique identities and calls. I'll say more about that in a little bit. But I believe that there is this, my wife touched on this last week. Who, by the way, if you weren't here last week, you got to listen to the message. Powerful, powerful, powerful. My woman can preach and teach. She is anointed. So anointed. And you're so beautiful too. Sometimes I can't even listen to what you're saying. I'm just looking at your face. And none of y'all can do that though. In the name of Jesus. But I can. That's my wife. That's my girl. 20 years of blessing. Hallelujah. It was a wonderful message, and my wife touched on this just a little bit. She talked about the difference between consumerism Christianity and reproducing Christianity. I believe that there is an entire toxic way that sometimes we get stuck in, and we think that church is about consuming. Yes, church, we come to be equipped, to get recharged, come on, to be refreshed in the presence of God. We come, we fellowship with one another. We graze like sheep grazing on the grass. But how many know that we are called to bear fruit? John 15, 16, Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, and that that fruit should remain. How many know that we are called to reproduce? We are called to produce fruit. We are not called just to consume. We're not called, and I'm not talking just about consumerism in the natural, because I like to shop on Black Friday. I don't care what anybody says. I get good deals on Black Friday. Come on, somebody. I inherited the shopping spirit. That spirit got on me from my wife. I blame her. You know, I remember a couple of times, she's like, look, honey, it's like 70% off. And I'm like, yeah, but they marked it up 65%. So you're only getting a little bit off. And she's like, I don't care. It's a good deal. And I'm like, okay, let's go shopping, baby. Because when my wife shops, she's happier. Happy wife, happy life. Some of you newlyweds are like, husbands are like, yeah, right. Oh, we'll see, buddy. I'll see you in my office in about a year. Counseling. I'm not just talking about consumerism in the world, although of course that materialistic, you know, stuff can be unhealthy, but there is a consumerism concept or a way that I think we've done church for far too long. It's almost this narcissistic idea that I come to church to get fed alone. How many know that if all we're doing is drinking milk, we're still babies? There comes a point where we have to eat solid food and we mature. And not only do we allow people to lead us, but then there comes a point where we begin to influence and lead others. And that is the call of God, to be reproducing, to produce fruit, not just consume. Now, we, most of us, we know this, and I'm not referring just to the natural part, and I say this very carefully, because this is a sensitive issue for a lot of people, is that sometimes our bodies are imperfect. And sometimes, because whether we're male or female, there could be something that's not functioning properly where we cannot reproduce and have children. How many know what I'm saying? But let me just make this statement, and this is a reality, and we don't for any second believe that it's somehow God's will that he made you barren or anything crazy like that. Sometimes our bodies just don't work perfectly. And under the new covenant, God wants us healthy and prosperous and blessed. He wants our bodies to work right. Come on, how many know he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer? And so when I say this, I'm not just referring to a physical body per se, but I'm also saying it referring to the body of Christ, that the lack of reproduction is dysfunction in the body. So we're not just talking about, you know, a person that's trying to have children or a couple, but I'm talking about, of course, that, but also the body of Christ. The lack of reproduction is dysfunction. So we have to learn to function under our unction. That was not in my notes. I was just trying to be cool. I was just trying to say, just tweet that. Okay, praise God. We have to learn how to function the way God designed us to. We're not called to just consume. Going to church and being a part of community is not all about you. It's about us maturing and growing, and it's about us loving the broken, and it's about us calling in the lost, and then making disciples, and having good relationships and healthy marriages and loving our kids right and raising them strong. It's about planting churches. It's about growing and multiplying. It's about advancing the kingdom in society. Come on, if you're a businessman, maybe you're not called to full-time ministry, but you're called to advance the kingdom of God in every realm of society. And God wants us to reproduce. And I think there's something in us sometimes that just has to be tweaked. It has to reorient. Something in us, we have to say, listen, it's not just about me. Sometimes we're just too self-absorbed, and like this thing that God has called us to do as Christians is to go into all the world and make disciples. Genesis 1:28, God, when he created us, when Adam and Eve, their original intent was to be blessed, to be fruitful, and multiply. He said, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. There's a connection to reproduction and authority. If we want to walk in our authority, that means we're being responsible in what we've been given to do. Jesus said in Matthew 25:28, I believe it is, to him who has, more will be given. To those that take responsibility in what God has given them, it will increase. And God blessed Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, how many know that even in the natural, I've noticed this, before the church in phases in the last 10 years, before we would have growth spurts, there's seasons where we just grow. We're going through one now. And sometimes there's small prunings and then we grow. Prunings and then we grow. And it's just a part of growing, and we're growing together. Can you say amen? It's a beautiful thing. And we're not just growing for the sake of church attendance, but we have a people growth plan going on. Come on, somebody. And I remember this powerful testimony, and I've heard this from time to time, that when, and we've noticed it, then when women start getting pregnant in the congregation, you know, all these married couples are like, hey, we're expecting a baby. And then 2 weeks later, hey, Pastor Zach, Rochelle, we're expecting a baby. And literally just everyone at the same time. And it was not because of a marriage retreat. It's like this, we call it coincidence, but I think that when there is reproduction in the natural, sometimes the same thing is happening in the spiritual, because the natural realm and the spiritual realm are not separate. They are superimposed over one another. There's a couple in our church, wonderful leaders. We love them so much, Megan and Sinclair. And the doctors told Megan that she would not be able to have x-ray, medical tests. You cannot have children. Is that right? And guess what happened? She got pregnant. And Megan and Sinclair have the most beautiful little baby. They have two children, but she was not able to have, and they had a kid. And guess what? The lack of reproduction is dysfunction, but then God heals that and he gives us the gift of being able to have children. Same thing in the body of Christ. Yeah. He's healing parts of the womb of the body of Christ. And he's raising up the spirit inside of us that is mature, that says, I'll lead and I'll feed and I'll father and I'll raise this baby. There's a responsibility. When Jesus sent out the disciples on this high mountain, imagine the perspective they saw, the whole world. Hey, make disciples of all the nations. You could see the cities nearby. I believe the scripture tells us that it was on the Mount of Olives that he ascended. I don't know if some of you scholars can correct me if I'm wrong, but can you imagine looking over the city and Jesus saying, I want you to make disciples. He even told him, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. What happened? Holy Spirit came, 120 in the upper room, and it just began to grow. The church, 3,000 the first day, then 5,000, and then thousands upon thousands upon thousands. The church just began to flourish. The same way that God spoke in Genesis when he said, I'm going to just read the verse to you real quick. Genesis, I read it during worship. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed. Don't take that out of context, y'all. I ain't going to go there right now. Well, God gave it, man, so, you know, it must be good for us. No, it kills your brain cells, dog, and you ain't sober-minded. It's an addiction. Break that thing in Jesus' name. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I got delivered from smoking weed. And I was the pot smoker that would hit that big 6-foot bong back in the day. That was cool. I made my own bong. I'm not glorifying. I'm just telling you. I was a pothead. I got delivered every day. I was reliant upon a substance that was a mere very, 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 very weak counterfeit to what God gives us. We need to learn to just get drunk on the wine of heaven. Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. It is so good for us to understand these things, because what I realized is this substance was actually dumbing down who I really am. And I thought it was help. And there are physical, actually, it's interesting that I happen to mention this, because I remember a doctor telling me recently, there's a lot of people having some dysfunctional things going on in their intimacy because of this drug. I think that we've turned to other substances and we've allowed ourselves to just yield to this dysfunction. But here's what God says. Don't just take that one little part of the verse. How many know a context without a text is a con? Let's read the whole thing. Let the earth bring forth grass, not the grass you were thinking. You know, the one that has the seeds in it? No, keep reading. And the fruit trees that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself on earth, and it was so. Then it goes on, it says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit, whose seed. How many know when God spoke and said, let the vegetation, the trees, the plants grow, everything in the ocean grow. That word brought life into the earth, and now thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, right? It's still going on. There is still life in the created order from God's word when he said, let it all happen. Still perpetuating. It's still happening. In the same way, of course, we read that God says, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth. How many know that? That authority is restored in Matthew 28 to subdue, to multiply. But in the same way, and how much more, hear me, in Matthew 16, when Jesus said, I will build my church and the power of Hades will not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, how many know if you look back in 2,000 years, there's been a lot of pressure, a lot of persecution, and the enemy has tried so hard to stop this movement in the first century called Christianity. But every time the enemy tried to kill the seed just went deeper into the ground. And even when these people felt like they were getting cracked, it was a seed of life cracking open. And God just began to bring forth more fruit. A persecuted church grew. A persecuted church multiplied, reproduced. It just kept growing, growing, growing for century after century after century. And then Christianity is legalized in 313, and 75% of the Roman Empire converts to Jesus. Now, we don't know how authentic those conversions were because the state and the religion began to merge and commingle. But I can tell you this, that even under pressure and persecution, God says, I'll build my church and the power of Hades will not prevail against it. How much more if there are still plants and trees growing, come on, that there are seeds of life inside of you and me and there are people. And even when I'm not around, there's still life. Come on, my sons and daughters that I'm raising up, they're still going to keep going and going. And the mantle is being passed. Passed down, come on, and the baton of faith is being passed down from generation to generation. Come on, you read it in Hebrews 11, the faith upon faith, that we see the faithfulness of God from David all the way down. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a generational thing. Discipleship is just not about a class. It's about raising up sons and daughters. We're in this for the long haul. We got a family to raise. Come on, church. We got, and it doesn't matter the pressure. It doesn't matter the pressure. How many here have children? How many have five kids? You know my pain. All throughout church history, persecution, growth. I know pressure. I know what it's like having five kids, and you know, when they're really little, it's like we don't ever get no time to ourselves, and there's no freedom, and they're running around getting in everything, and we're just running around, and it's like, man, I'm out of shape. And then they smile and it just warms your heart and you forget about all the physical pain, right? My back hurts from picking you up, and then da-da, it's like, I don't care about this pain in my back right now. I just love you. I just want to bite your cheeks. And then they turn teenagers and it flips. You're not exhausted physically, you're drained emotionally. They talk back, they get rebellious. They want to spend lots of money on everything. Eat the school lunch. You're not ordering Uber Eats today. Get your own bank account and your own job. I got three teenagers. We regretfully have called them the unholy trinity a few times. But how many know there's pressure in raising a family? I remember we had Sarah, and we thought our life's perfect. We're in love. Come on, somebody. We have a beautiful girl. And then we thought, I can't imagine having another baby, because how can this other child be the focus of my love like this child is? And then David came. And it got even better. It's amazing. It's like, wow, this thing that we're created to do, to reproduce, is actually, this is what we're designed for. I remember David growing up, little David, man, just, he was too pretty. His eyebrows were all perfect, and we let his hair grow out, and it was curly. And people thought he was a little girl. How old is she? I'm like, it's a he, you know. And when he talked, he knew it was a he, because he'd be like, I want to play with boy toys. One time on Christmas, they're walking down. Remember the video we have? They're so cute. And they're walking down the stairs this Christmas morning. And Sarah, little Princess Sarah, she takes care of David, loves him, so sweet to him. And she's like, come on, David, and hugs him. And he's just like this. Frozen. And then he's like, come on, let's unwrap presents. He's like, I don't want girl toys. I want boy toys. Yeah, that was my son throwing the football out there between services. And then we had Hannah Grace. And then we had Josiah. And God just kept blessing us more and more. And then we had the surprise Layla. Surprise! And Layla's the star. She's brand repping on Instagram. Woo! Big time. She gets free clothes, and Rochelle takes pictures of her on these little mommy sites, and Layla is just doing it like she's been trained. Rochelle's taking pictures and she's like posing, and Rochelle's like, what do you do? Okay, that's good. Oh, wow. Wow. She posts this. I'm like, what in the world? This little girl is a star. But what happens in life, we begin to raise a family and we realize we're learning to love, and there's ups and downs, and there's lots of free will going on in this. And then your daughter or one of your daughters gets a boyfriend. Lord have mercy. They're both serving in kids' church, by the way. I hope they listen to this later. Anyways. And your son gets a girlfriend, you know, like what? And you know, it's funny, like for me, I don't know about you, but as a dad, I can imagine my son getting married someday because he's going to carry the name, have lots of sons, and Wexlers will just fill the earth. Horabashanda. Right? Can you tell I identify as an alpha male? Praise God. I just want to, you know, pass down the, and but how many know, like as a father, I don't know about dads with daughters, you're out there and it's like, I joke with my daughters. I'm kind of serious. I'm like, I will not give your hand away in marriage, just so you know. They're like, Dad. I'm like, and you're living with me forever. But there comes a time that, of course, as a dad, I'm going to have to let them move out, although I don't want to. They're getting older and they're maturing and they're learning responsibility. And the same thing in Christianity. We have to grow people. We have to raise people up and we have to release them. We have to remember that this thing is about reproducing, not about hoarding, not about taking all the fruit and saying, look what I did. It's never about building our empire, but seeing the kingdom advance and watch Jesus build his church. This church is beautiful. It's full of glorious people that need to be released in their gift and their call and their unique identity. That's why it's reproduction, not multiplication. It's not making clones. Although there is an element where a disciple catches the spirit of the leader, they might start praying or preaching like them or singing like them and talking and doing things. And that's a healthy element, but we still have our own unique identity, quality spices. Some of us a little more spicy than others. But God wants us to remember what we're created to do. I remember my Sarah's first homecoming, my daughter Sarah's first homecoming. And she has a boyfriend, you know, and one of her friends got really close to her boyfriend. The night came for her homecoming and she said, Dad, Mom, and she was really upset. She said, my boyfriend broke up with me and he's getting together with my best friend. And she's like, should I still go to homecoming? I said, heck no. I looked at my daughter. I said, you're far more too valuable than that. And I will not allow you on your first homecoming to go with some young man that doesn't value who you are. I mean, no, raising children, you teach them how valuable they are. And you love them through difficulties. But the fact is that even when there's pressure, even when there's pain, there still needs to be love and reproduction. Before we had children, it's always been my heart to be a father. I dreamed of it, and I tell my kids, many times I'll grab Layla, she's my smallest, and I'll look at her. I say, Layla, you are beyond the dream I ever dreamed of having a daughter. You're so beautiful. And we need to tell our spiritual kids that. Yes. We need to raise people up so they see themselves the way God sees them. Yes. We need to add value to them and honor them and love them. But before we had kids, before all of that, my wife and I found love with one another because reproduction should always spring forth from true love. The love we have for God and one another. And that's what it's about. Reproduction flows from that. You see it in the heart of Paul, the apostle Paul, the apostolic father that he was, preaching the gospel all over Asia Minor and all over, and it's affecting Africa, and just the authority that he had as an apostle was because of his love that he had as a father. Authority detached from love is never of God. Never of God. And our authority to make disciples should spring forth from love. 1 Corinthians 4:15, he said, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. I'm going to read another verse in closing. How many could say we need fathers and mothers? We need leaders. This message is about family. It's not just making disciples. That is what discipleship is. That is what revival is, in fact. Revival is sowing seeds and watching them grow. Revival is watering those seeds and watching God give the increase. And then the fruit gets laid at the Father's feet. Look what you did, Papa. Look at the changed lives. That person was drug addicted and ready to take their life, and now they're pastoring a church. That person was pimping, and now they're pastoring. They were a gang leader, and now they're one of the main discipleship leaders. That was a prostitute, and now she has all these spiritual daughters that know their value. That's the kingdom. Change and transformation and growth and propagation, reproduction, not consuming. The whole world needs to hear the message of how important it is to have fathers and mothers, especially fathers, because half the world is fatherless. It's probably the number one problem we have in America, and the number one problem we have in the world is we need fathers. In John chapter 20, in closing, starting at verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Can you imagine? Verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Listen, catch this. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." If you look through the Gospel of John, the word "sent" is usually pertaining to how Jesus was sent by the Father. And so are we sent by the Father through the Son. We're sent to reveal the heart of the Father to a broken world and then to bring them into the family and tell them they're a son. It's the prodigal son story. Discipleship is Luke chapter 15. Come home. Put sandals on his feet. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. The son, the daughter that was lost has now come home. Now they can take refuge and be a son. Not a slave to fear or bondage to sin, but they can come home and be who God created them to be. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." That is the commission to reproduce. And we have been sent by the Father, the love of the Father, the grace of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he said that, with saying that, it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." See, there's power release when we go. And when we go, and as we go, and as we're sent, it goes with all of heaven behind us. It's interesting in the Greek, and I know the author knew this, John knew this, that in the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which was about 3-4 centuries before the birth of Jesus, this was Jesus's Bible, was actually a Septuagint. And this phrase, "breathed on them," is the same in the Greek as Genesis 2:7, where God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. What was the author telling us? He's telling us that now that was creation. This is recreation. Now be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. You have authority, go make disciples. And then he says this, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you retain them, they are retained." Because remember, in the manifestation of the breath of the Spirit, there's also the mercy seat. The glory in the Old Testament rested upon the mercy seat. So you can be filled with the Spirit, but unless you walk and preach a gospel of love, acceptance, and forgiveness, the Spirit will not rest upon our lives. Same goes with our hearts. If we are offendable constantly and holding on to grudges, and we are a people, a family that is contentious and divisive and slandering and gossiping, and we're constantly mad at each other, we are not walking in that sending power of the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain them, they're retained. God is telling us something, that we need to make sure our hearts are malleable, under the wind of the Spirit so he can reform, so he can recreate. And then we go. This is the foundation of the gospel. And then we go out and we make disciples of all the nations. And we reproduce what is holy. We see God build family. Amen. Amen. Would you close your eyes? I want to pray for you. I don't know about you, but I can feel the presence of God very strong right now. And my heart is bending because I am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for our leaders. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm thankful for what God is doing. And I'm really excited about seeing a new wineskin that has been forming, but to truly see a beautiful way, a beautiful movement of heaven where we can reproduce and watch families grow together, not just in the church, but where husbands and wives can have a strong marriage and I can love my kids and you can love your kids and we can grow together and we can grow as a family. We can reach the lost. We can not just get them to pray a prayer, but bring them into a family where they can discover who they really are. Can you say amen? Would you lift your hands with me and just thank God for his presence right now. Lord, thank you right now. Would you pray with me and thank God for the word right now? So Lord, thank you so much. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. We can live life on life, leading others and leaving a legacy. Lord, we want to reproduce, break the consumerism spirit over our minds, break narcissism. Lord, teach us to be self-giving. Love is self-giving and other-centered. Teach us to reproduce. Teach us, Lord, teach us to follow so that we can lead. Teach us to posture our hearts to receive so that we can give. And Lord, I thank you that you're healing broken hearts that have been under domineering leadership. This is a new way and a new day. And I pray right now that you would, right now, I spiritually wash the feet of those who have been broken and who have been hurt by domineering leadership. Lord, thank you for the love and the healing presence of the Father just pouring into them right now. And Lord, with open arms, we embrace them, we bless them. We thank you for what's ahead for Encounter Church Las Vegas. We thank you for the leadership of this house. Thank you for every pastor, every leader rising up, everyone that leads community. And we call on you now to hear the mandate of heaven to run with vision and to be strong. You have a responsibility to say yes to the call. Wow. We say yes. We say yes. Just say it with me. Say yes, Lord. Yes. Here am I. Send me, Lord. Brand our hearts with a deep love for people. And this call, brand our hearts. It becomes woven within us. We cannot separate it. It will be our desire, our longing, our effort, our intent to do this thing that you've called us to do. We're delighted to. We're honored to, Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise? Thank you, Lord. Come on, just thank God for a moment. Honey, would you come and dismiss? And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love you, saints. Be blessed.
Can you just say amen to the word of the Lord this morning? Have you guys enjoyed this sermon series? I encourage you, go back if you missed any of the last four Sundays. Go back and listen on Facebook or on our website, because they're just, all of them go together so well. So I just bless you in Jesus' name. And if you need prayer for anything, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come make themselves available. And if you need prayer for anything this morning, I would just encourage you to come find one of these awesome, amazing, anointed prayer team members. All right. We love you. You're dismissed. Have a beautiful afternoon and we'll see you soon. Amen.